We are on the air. Good morning, everyone. We are now on the air. Welcome to Abundant Life Baptist Church Adult Sunday School class. And this has been a wonderful study on the book of James. It really has. There's a lot of great information in the book of James. And James, he gave us some information that we really needed to know and needed to understand as Christians. And it's something to help us grow in our spiritual walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. But before we begin, Brother Ronnie, would you open us up in a word of prayer?
Dear precious Heavenly Father, thank you that you be in the house today, dear Lord. We just pray for the pastor that's bringing us lesson today. Just let you lead, guide, and direct through him, dear Lord.
Amen. Well, we're in James chapter 3. Verses 13 through 18 today, and Dr. Sexton gives a wonderful lesson on wisdom that is from above. See, there's two kinds of wisdoms. There's wisdom, there's heavenly wisdom or godly wisdom, spiritual wisdom, and there's also earthly wisdom. There's a lot of people on this earth who have a lot of wisdom, believe it or not, but then there's a lot of people on this earth who lack spiritual wisdom, and that's the thing that we're looking for as Christians. We're looking to have spiritual wisdom, a type of wisdom that will help us to make good decisions, give us discernment, and help us to be able to use the knowledge that we gain by reading the Word of God in a way that's going to draw others to Christ. And that's what it's all about. Our wisdom spiritually that comes from above is the type of wisdom that kind of highlights what's on the wall right there, to know Him in a better way, and to make Him known to other people that do not know Him the way that we do. So we'll begin by reading verses 13 through verse 18 in James chapter 3, and then we'll make our lesson from there. James says, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if he have bitter envying and strife in your heart, glory not, and lie not against the truth. The wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." So what James is trying to say here very clearly, I mean, it's pretty simple. The Christian, because of the abundant life that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, can gain all the wisdom that we possibly could use on this earth. And it's not a worldly wisdom. The worldly wisdom, like he says up there at the beginning, it says, but if ye have bitter envy, strife in your heart, glory not, and lie not against the truth. But there's a lot of Christians in this world, believe it or not, that's never gained any wisdom. I've known of some Christians that's been saved for multiple years. And when you sit down and talk to them or you watch their life and you see what they do and how they live, then you find out they're not as wise as they put on the show that they do. And there's a lot of people that kind of put on a facade. And what I mean by facade is kind of like a hunter going hunting. They put on camouflage so they can't be seen. Well, a lot of Christians are the same way. They're camouflage Christians or they're not even real. I mean, they claim to be a Christian when they're around other Christians, but when they're out in the world, you don't see that in their life. And being in the business world, as long as I was, I saw that a lot. In a lot of people who claim to be Christians. I had supervisors down through the years that claimed to be a Christian when they were around me. But get them around a group of people outside of the Christian realm, then you find out that's not who they really were on the inside. Kind of like what we talked about a little bit when we talked about the tongue. You know, out of the heart, you know, out of your mouth comes the things of the heart because your tongue is connected to your heart. Well, wisdom's the same way. It's connected to your heart. And if you have the right kind of a heart and you love the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart, and then that's when you're going to find that this type of wisdom is the type of wisdom that we want to have. But in the Old Testament, the book of Proverbs, we're encouraged to seek after wisdom as much as we possibly can. Wisdom is one thing that we have to, once we get her, and we notice I called her. That's how Proverbs refers to wisdom, as a her, like it's a person almost. It's a being, but it's something that makes us different. But Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13 through 18, it says, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom." So wisdom is something to be sought. You have to look for it. It doesn't just happen. When a person gets saved, a lot of times we tell people, well, when you get saved and you get the Holy Spirit, and there's a lot of denominations out there that teach this, that when you get saved and once you're saved, then you get baptized, and when you get baptized, then you get the Holy Spirit. That's not the case. That's not how it works. The moment a person gets saved, they immediately are indwelt by the Spirit of God. But it's just like anything else as in life. Our Christian faith, it grows, like we've been going through on Wednesday night. It's a growth process. Faith is something that grows, just like sanctification. We believe in progressive sanctification. In other words, as you grow in your Christian life, your sanctification gets more and more closer to God, just like your faith. Faith is something that it's something that you have to build on. Well, wisdom is the same way. It doesn't just happen. You have to seek out wisdom. As Solomon said there in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13 through 18, he says, "And a man that getteth understanding, for the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold." In other words, if you can get wisdom, if you can seek after wisdom and find it, then you've got more than money can ever offer you. And that's a wonderful thing. And that's what we're seeking to do, is to try to get as much wisdom and knowledge as we can. And you know, I kind of feel sorry for people who get saved. And when they get saved, they think, well, I got it now. And they don't think there's anything more to their salvation other than, I got saved. And God saved me from hell. And that's all I care about. But that's not the way that we need to be as Christians, because salvation and the wisdom that comes with that after a person's saved, there's a lot of people out there that are, and the word ignorant doesn't mean that someone is stupid. The word ignorant simply means that they're unlearned. But there's a lot of Christians who choose to stay ignorant because they know that once that wisdom begins to come, their life has to change. And there's got to be a change in people's life. A true Christian, when a person truly gets saved and they get the wisdom from above, then that wisdom will direct them to live the lifestyle that God chooses for us to live. And a lot of Christians out there choose not to live that life. I'm not saying they're not saved, because I believe a lot of people get saved simply because they're afraid of going to hell. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I worry about Christians who get saved and they never get any wisdom. And I have, excuse me, I have met some in my life that were saved at a very early age. And as they grew in their life, it's almost like they grew further from God rather than being drawn closer to Him. It's almost like, I got what I wanted. I'm going to go to heaven. I'm not going to go to hell. And now I'll live like I want to the rest of my life. And that's not wisdom. And that's what Solomon was saying. It says in verse 15 of Proverbs 3, it says, "She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her." There's nothing better in this world than to know a Christian, a brother or sister in Christ, who has the type of wisdom that comes from above, because they can make such a huge difference in a person's life. And they're the ones who make a difference in this world, actually. And there are some in this world who, Christians who live their whole life and they never make a difference. I mean, you got to ask yourself, what have I done for Christ? Have I gained that wisdom that comes from above to the degree where the most important thing in me is to walk closer with Christ and to get as many people as I can to go to heaven because I was able to share with them the gospel, the salvation gospel, and see as many people saved as possible? Let's say it goes on. It says, "Length of days is in her right hand, and her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her." You want happiness in your Christian life? Seek for wisdom. And don't stop until you find her, because she's someone who has to be sought. And you have to seek after that wisdom the best way you know how. And the best way to do that is by increasing your faith. And increasing your faith, we all know what the Bible says: faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The people that I really don't understand are people who get saved and they got this huge facade when they first get saved, and oh, they're gung-ho. And then there's even Christians who later on in life, they hear a good message that somebody presents to them. They go to a revival meeting, they get all pumped up and they're all excited, and then a couple of weeks later, they're right back down where they were before. And we all get that way. I mean, let's be honest about it. We all get to the point where life has a way of throwing things at us that pulls us down. But true wisdom, a person of true wisdom, are those who find wisdom, who hold on to that wisdom. And when those hard times come, then the wisdom that they gain, if it's heavenly wisdom, will get them through those hard times. We went to see Joe and Debbie Friday. And we shared communion with them because we had communion last Sunday. And I told Joe, I said, you know, hey, we're having communion the second Sunday of every month. And we wanted to make sure that you guys were a part of this. And I asked him, I said, would you like to have communion with us today? And so he did. He said, oh, absolutely. But, you know, sometimes I guess the admiration that I have for Brother Joe right now is he's a wise Christian man. And the reason I say that is because here's somebody who's going through a difficult time, very difficult time. And at the same time, he doesn't understand why people don't cherish the opportunity to be in church. Because he said, it's like we were talking yesterday, and he said it before, when something's taken away from you that you cherish so much, and you see other people who don't cherish it the way that you do, they take for granted the opportunity to be in God's house with God's people. And that's true wisdom. True wisdom are those people, those Christians who, when they get saved and they find wisdom and they hold on to wisdom for the rest of their entire life. In other words, you know what? Every opportunity I have, I'm going to be around God's people. Every opportunity I have, I want to gain more and more wisdom. I want my faith to grow closer and closer to the Lord. I want to walk with Him in a way that when others look at me, they're able to look at me and say, there is someone who walks with God. And you can say that about Brother Joe. I believe that with all my heart. I prayed with him. I've held his hand. I've cried with him, and I rejoice with him. But that's the kind of people that we want to see all of our church family be. That's how we all want. That should be the desire of all of us, is to walk in wisdom and to hold on to her when we find her. And then in Proverbs chapter 4, verses 7 through 9, it says, wisdom is the principal thing. In other words, wisdom is the main thing. And that the wisdom that they're talking, that Solomon's talking about, it's not earthly wisdom. I know a lot of people that were really good in the business world. But I'm telling you, when it came down to spiritual things, they had no idea anything about it. And it goes on, it says, therefore, get wisdom. Get it. Get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver thee. I mean, my, oh, my. What more could you ask for than to get that crown of glory one day when you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ? And then in wisdom, when we get to heaven, when we have all wisdom, we're able to take that crown of glory and lay them at the feet of Jesus. But, you know, this Christian life that we live, it's when a person gets saved, they don't realize, a lot of people don't realize, this is a lifetime. Not just on earth, but in eternity. And that's the kind of wisdom we need to gain. It's eternal wisdom. And once you ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins by faith and you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you are a recipient of eternal life. But there's more to that. There's more to the Christian life than just the eternal life part of it. Everybody's going to live forever. Nobody's going to die. We're going to die on this earth. But even those people who don't know Christ are going to live forever, but they're not going to live forever in the presence of God Almighty. They're going to be separated from God for eternity in a place called hell. And those of us who know that need to gain enough wisdom to be able to share that with them in a loving and a kind way and let people understand, hey, you know, if you want true wisdom, come to Christ, because that's where true wisdom is found. But eternal life with the eternal one, the Lord Jesus, is that eternal one that we're going to live forever with. And that's true wisdom. When you understand that and you're able to share that with somebody else, just sharing your testimony is enough to do that. But if we are believers, then we are present possessors of eternal life. It's not something that we're going to receive at the moment of death or when the Lord comes for us. It's already ours. See, that's part of that wisdom as well, understanding that right now, it's as almost as if you're in the presence of God Himself right now, because your place in heaven is set, and it's set so strongly that right now, we're there. We're in the presence of God right now, believe it or not. But we're alive. We are to live the eternal life here and now. And that's what Dr. Sexton says. And you know, he's got a lot of good thoughts in here. I want to cover some of them, and I got some of my own thoughts I'm trying to share with you. But if our faith that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, faith, yes, but if the faith is not followed by works, then it's dead faith. So it works the same way with wisdom. You know, wisdom comes by our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And James said it clearly back in James chapter 1. He said clearly, he said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally. If a person is born again, they've accepted Jesus Christ, and you lack wisdom in your life and you feel like you lack wisdom, the only way to get that wisdom is to go before God and ask for it. But, you know, it's kind of like I shared, I think it was last Sunday, I shared about D.L. Moody, who, I know it was on Wednesday night. I was talking about D.L. Moody on Wednesday night. We were talking about faith, and it works the same thing with wisdom as faith. You know, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Well, D.L. Moody was the type of guy that when he first got saved, he would ask God for faith. Lord, give me faith. Lord, increase my faith. Lord, give me faith. He kept praying for faith, but faith never came. Until what? He found the verse in the Bible that said, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So he decided, okay, if I want to increase my faith, I got to read the word of God. So he starts reading the Bible, his faith began to increase. Same way with wisdom. You want wisdom? God's not just going to hand it to you on a platter. It doesn't just happen. Salvation comes that way. When we receive Jesus Christ and we go before him and we believe, like Brother Keith gave to the children Monday night in his message, which, by the way, he did a wonderful job out there. We were there two nights, and then after that, we had other things going on. But those two nights we were out there, he gave wonderful messages. And I've been told we had three saved Friday night. Praise God. I mean, hallelujah. I mean, that's something to shout about. If one person got saved, it would be worth it. If one child would dedicate their life to the Lord, it would be well worth it. And see, these children, our responsibility right now is the wisdom that we have. We have to embed that in them. And the only way to do that is get them into church. But in order for us to have this wisdom that we should so seek after, we have to ask for it. You know, the Bible is very clear. Seek and ye shall find. Ask and ye shall be given. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. And it works the same way with wisdom. You want wisdom? Ask God for it. You know what God's going to do? He's going to say, increase your faith. Because without the faith, you're not going to get the wisdom, because you got to believe that everything that you ask of God, he's going to give you. Like in 1 John chapter 5, it talks a little bit about that as well. But anyway, he goes on here and he says, Dr. Sexton says, the works being the evidence. In other words, our works proves our faith in God. Well, the decisions that we make as a Christian will also prove our wisdom from above. I mean, a lot of people in this, a lot of Christians in this world have made some pretty stupid decisions about things that they shouldn't have made that way. And the reason is because they lack wisdom. And God is very clearly, I mean, James is very clear there, back in James chapter 1, he says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally. It's almost like, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, anybody that's born again, if they want wisdom, they can gain that wisdom directly from by asking God for it. But then you can't just lay your Bible aside and say, well, okay, wisdom's on its way. See, that's what D.L. Moody was doing with his faith. He kind of laid his Bible aside and started asking God for faith. And God said, it doesn't work that way. Well, wisdom don't work that way either. Wisdom comes. And believe it or not, it's not by how long you've been saved. It's not by how long you've been alive in this world. Wisdom comes because we ask God for wisdom. And then when we ask God for wisdom, what did Proverbs say to do? Seek her. Seek wisdom, and when you find her, you'll know that you've got her. But then, you know, don't let that puff us up, because one of the things about wisdom is it keeps us humble as well, and we need to make sure that we stay that way. But in James, and that's what James is talking about here, who is wise and endued with knowledge among you, let him show out of a good conversation. In other words, his conduct will prove the wisdom that he has. See, God will give you certain things, and it's kind of like he'll give you certain convictions in your heart that will tell you, okay, don't live this kind of a lifestyle. Don't do this no more. And, you know, the Bible doesn't tell us everything. It tells us everything that we need to know right now, but it doesn't say that everything in this world is a sin that's a sin. The Bible is a map. It's a guide. It gives us everything that we need to know, but it doesn't give us every exact word-for-word detail about every sin that there is in this entire world. That's where wisdom comes in. When you're able to rightly divide the Word of God and open the Word of God and look at it, God doesn't necessarily say, you know, if you don't brush your teeth, you're going to get cavities. Doesn't say that. But you got to teach a child that. And it works the same way in the spiritual life. In order for us to gain the wisdom that we need to do, just to go back to what we were talked about there last week about the tongue, when we took the little exam last week, you got to watch your tongue sometimes. But, you know, we're called to reprove sin when it's there. And we're called to exhort when someone is low. We're called to, when someone is ill, we're called to go to that person and pray with that person and cry with that person and be with that person when we have an opportunity to do that. That's part of being wise as well. But we have to, and the only way to gain that wisdom is to make sure that he says that our conversation that he's talking about here, the good conversation, his works with meekness and wisdom, that conversation simply means conduct. The way we act, the way we present ourselves, the way we dress sometimes proves that we're a Christian. Believe it or not, it does. I know the Bible says clearly that man looketh upon the heart and God looketh on the heart, man looks on the outward appearance. But we live in a world today. If I came into church as the pastor and I had on a pair of shorts, pair of flip-flops, t-shirt, tattoos, body piercings all over, would you let me stand behind your pulpit? I seriously doubt it. Why? Because our outward appearance proves who we are in Christ. And not that we judge people like that. We don't want to judge people for that. Because a lot of people, it's something that happened way before they were ever saved. Or way back in their early childhood of salvation when they were just a child in Christ. Because people are swayed easily. But those of us who have been saved the longest, who have gained wisdom, and I'm not saying by no means that I've ever gained any wisdom, believe me. I have a long ways to go. But I will say this, that being around my dad, as long as I was around my dad, he was probably one of the wisest men I'd ever been around. And I believe he instilled in me some, not just personal convictions, I believe he instilled within me biblical convictions that are biblical, but they don't come out and spell it out directly. So that's what I'm trying to say about the Word of God. You want wisdom? Read the Word of God. God will point things out to you as you're reading it. He'll open your eyes to certain things that are not necessarily written in the Word of God, but in your heart you know that it's either right or wrong. And that's part of being wise, being able to make those decisions and being able to take the Word of God and rightly divide it and say, you know, this doesn't say necessarily this. But it's kind of like, it goes back to the thing that's been such a huge controversy in the independent fundamental Baptist movement for years, and that's women wearing pants. That's been a big thing. When I was a kid, my dad did not let my mom wear pants. He did not let my sister wear pants. And I never agreed with my dad on that. And I had a conversation with my dad about that one time, and I explained it to him. I said, Dad, I said, this is the way I look at it. The only thing the Bible says is a woman should not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. Plain and simple. That's what it says. I would never put on my wife's slacks, okay? I wouldn't wear them. There's women's pants, there's men's pants, plain and simple. And that's the way I view things. And when the Bible says thou shalt not do something, it's pretty common sense you don't do it. And when the Bible says thou shalt do something, then that's what you do. You do what God says to do. But God doesn't tell you everything. He gives us common sense, he gives us spiritual common sense or spiritual wisdom that allows us to make decisions. When other people look at us, they can say, wow, that person walks with God. I mean, just to have that that testimony that other people can look at you. But wisdom for life, for us to live the Christian walk, comes directly from God. And how does God speak to us? Absolutely. God speaks to us through his word. When we come together as God's people and we celebrate every Sunday the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, we gather around the Word of God, we spend time in prayer, we sing songs of praise. That is just living a wise Christian life, is what it is. It's being wise. So God mentions in James chapter 3, verse 17, it says, the wisdom that is from above, heavenly wisdom. So there's earthly wisdom and there's heavenly wisdom. There's two different types of wisdom. Wisdom simply means that a person is able to take the knowledge that they have and know how to use that knowledge. Like a doctor, for instance. There's a lot of wise doctors out there because they studied for 8, 9, 10 years, however long a doctor has to go to college. They learn specific things about the human body and how to handle certain things, but they don't know everything. And there's some people out there, some doctors out there, who they say have kind of what they call a God complex because they think they know everything. Well, they don't. And what they don't realize is the wisdom that they even have, earthly wisdom, where'd it come from? Came from God. All wisdom comes from God. Just like there's common faith. Everybody's got common faith, but not everybody has God faith. Just like wisdom. There's some people out there, I've ran into people that was into certain things their whole life. And when you sit down and talk to them and you spend a little time with them, you find out they're dumber than a box of rocks. And I hate to put it that way, but there are people like that. And they're older than you. They've been saved longer than you. And when it comes down to spiritual things and making good decisions, they have no idea what to do. And that's a shame that people get to that point. But, you know, he goes on. Dr. Sexton says, wisdom for life comes from God. His desire for us is to impart to all of us what is necessary to live victorious Christian lives in this world. We live in a world right now that is just totally, totally lost its way. And as Christians, the best thing that we can do, and you know, the Bible says it's okay to have a righteous anger. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with righteous anger. But as long as we control that anger, but that anger has got to be controlled. I mean, we just can't go out here and, you know, start blasting away at people because they don't believe what we believe. But we got to live the kind of a life that points them to where our true faith is. And it's in the Word of God. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's important. But the Bible says that there is wisdom that is from above. And last week we dealt with the tongue. We talked about that. Who is wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Then a person like that has to be able to bridle their tongue. That's part of wisdom as well. But there's a time to speak up too. It's okay to speak up. When you know somebody is living outside of the bonds of the Word of God, then we have a responsibility as Christians to sit down with that person and say, hey, listen, you can't do that. This is the kind of life you have to live. And you know, in order to be a representative of heaven, because we're ambassadors for Christ. That's why we're here. That's why we're saved, not just to get to heaven, but we're saved to take as many people as we possibly can with us. We need to get them on that bus going to heaven, or however you want to put it. But we need to get people to the point where they see Christ in our life and they say, boy, even in hard times, that person is able to get through it, to get through it. And, you know, I told Brother Joe here one other time, I said, Joe, I said, you're not going through this just by yourself. I need this as well. This is good for me. And it is. It's good for me because it gives me the opportunity to go sit down and talk with him and share some time with him and gain some of his Bible wisdom that Brother Joe has. And that's what we need to do, surround ourselves around people who have wisdom. You know, in the business realm, they say, if you want to be successful, hang around people, put yourself around successful people. Play golf with the most successful businessmen you can find out there. I never did that. I was never a golf player. But that's wrong. I mean, in order to be successful, our goals on this earth should not be to succeed in this world and in worldly things, but to be successful for heaven and for the Lord Jesus Christ. Do what we can for him, and that's the best way to do it. But wisdom provides us the ability to use knowledge properly. That's what wisdom does. It helps us get the knowledge that we gain by being in church, by being around God's people, by reading the Word of God, and being able to take the knowledge that we get from that. See, a lot of people are knowledgeable. They have a ton of knowledge. I've talked to people that can talk to you just about anything. But when it came down to it, what do they do with that knowledge? If they don't use it the right way, then it's just a waste. People go to school their whole life. There's people that's just been, quote, what do you do for a living? I go to college. I talked to a guy one time that went to college for like 8 or 10 years. And if it was up to him, he'd have stayed there. He loved to learn. Well, what are you doing with the things that you learn? What do you do when God gives you the knowledge to be able to know something about a certain thing? God gives us knowledge, and then later on he'll give us the wisdom to use that knowledge for His glory and for His honor. When you do it for your own glory, for your own honor, that's not wisdom. That's not true wisdom. True wisdom is using the knowledge that God gives us. But he says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation or good conduct, his works with meekness. And that word meek has been misinterpreted a lot of times. A lot of people say that word meekness means, you know, you just kind of cower. That's not true. Jesus was very meek. He set the proper example when it comes to every bit of this stuff we're talking about right now. He set the example. He is the one that we follow. He's the source of all wisdom. And the Bible's clear, you know, Jesus said, I'm the Word. And John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was with God, so on and so forth. And wisdom, Jesus being the Word, he is the wisdom that God used to even create all things. Think about that. Jesus was involved in creation. And because of the wisdom that he had in creating, we're here today. And so that wisdom that we look up to, the one who is the source of all wisdom is Jesus Christ, because he was in the beginning. And with that, it goes all the way down to where we're at today. It says, let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom. In other words, humility. Humility is a huge thing when it comes to wisdom. There are those out there who think that they're so wise that they can predict when Jesus is coming back. And they try to say that, well, the Bible says if you look at these signs, yeah, there's signs. But, you know, the thing that people often forget is God's thoughts and His ways are so much higher than ours. When it comes to God's wisdom and man's wisdom, even if you have good, heavenly, godly wisdom, you still know you're no match for God. God is up here. We will always be down here because He has the kind of wisdom that we can't even begin to comprehend. Our finite minds cannot even begin. I don't understand a lot of things in this world, in this life. I don't understand things that's happened in our lives and why certain things have happened the way that they have. And I ask God, and there's nothing wrong with asking God, Lord, I don't understand this. Can you show me what this is all about? I need wisdom. I need to know how to use the knowledge that you give us in this world to be able to make a difference. And when we learn from God, and when we listen to the Holy Spirit when He speaks to us, the type of wisdom that we can get, it's not the wisdom that we can gain on this earth that's going to help us make a difference, but this wisdom that does not descend from above. If we try to depend on our own wisdom, and it's not from above, and it's not from God, then you might as well be talking to a wall, because the wall will not answer. Earthly wisdom's no different to me than trying to get something out of that wall right there, because it doesn't make a difference. But heavenly wisdom, godly wisdom, wisdom that comes directly from God, because the other wisdom says clearly, the Bible says that it's earthly, it's sensual, and it's devilish. Any other wisdom outside of heavenly wisdom is nothing more than devilish. And that simply means it comes from the prince and the power of the air, who as a roaring lion goeth about seeking whom he may devour. And he's trying his very best right now, believe it or not, because he knows he's on his last leg. He's trying to destroy the churches. And he's doing a really good job. I hate to say it, but he's doing a really good job. And sometimes he does a lot better job than we do as Christians. We fail in so many different ways because there are those of us who could have the wisdom, but we're not asking God to give us that wisdom, be able to stand up against the one who is shooting the fiery darts at us all the time. And he never stops. He is continually going before God the Father and trying to accuse us every single day. And the only way we're going to be able to get through this life and get through this life successfully for the right reasons and be able to reach as many people as we possibly can with the wisdom that God gives us is we have to have the knowledge, first of all, and then the wisdom will give us the ability to use that knowledge to see as many people as we can to possibly come to Christ. But the word earthly means that it is the best earth can produce. Sensual, meaning it appeals to the natural life, and the lowest common denominator is humanity, which simply means that if we're just trying to do everything in our own power, and we all do that. I mean, let's face it. The first time a problem pops up in our life, what do? You try to solve it. You can't do it. You can't solve your problems on your own. You can't do a lot of things. Sometimes we take for granted the blessings that God pours out on us. And little things like breathing. You ever thank God for oxygen? You ever thank God just to be able to stand up, because there are so many people who can't? You ever just take time to thank God that you can still see, you can still hear, you still have a tongue? And are you using those things properly for God? See, you have all those things and you know how to use them, but do you have the wisdom that God gives to be able to use them for His glory? And that's all He's wanting us to do, is to take the knowledge that we have and give thanks to Him for the knowledge He gives us, and then ask Him to give us the wisdom to use them for His glory and His honor. Sometimes we just take life for granted as a whole, and that's not what we want to do. But naturally, we deal with a lack of wisdom that is from above, and that's because we're trying to do things the natural way, and we're not using godly wisdom to help us make the decisions we need to make. And so we depend on the earth. And the last thing we do is pray. The last thing we do is to pray. Okay, something pops up in our life, we just make a decision. We just do it. I got to have this, I'll go do this. Got to have that, go do that. We don't give God the time, not that He needs it, but sometimes God puts us in predicaments where He makes us wait. And He says, just be still. Just be still and know that I am God. And how's He going to do that? If you jump out and you just start acting on earthly wisdom, because the first thing the earth says, the worldly wisdom tells us to do is just do it. Just do it. Just do it. It goes back to the Nike saying, just do it. No, that's not the right way to do it as a Christian. Back away from it sometimes. It's because sometimes we're so close to a problem in our life that it's like right here. And when you put your hands up against your face like that, you can't even see your fingers hardly. But if you back away, you can begin to see it a lot better, because sometimes God says, okay, slow down and back off. And when we back off and He gives us the wisdom to use the knowledge that we've got with wisdom, then we'll make the right decision. But so many times we make wrong decisions. I want to get into the things that prove our wisdom. No one can force anyone to be a Christian. Now remember this. That's being wise. You cannot force someone to believe what you believe. And they can't force you to believe what they believe. Just because everyone else believes something doesn't mean it's the right thing to believe. You have to understand what you have to put your faith and trust in. Colossians 2, verses 2 through 3 says that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In other words, if you want to gain spiritual wisdom, where's it at? It's all together with God and the Lord Jesus Christ. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That's why we believe in a triune God. So the only place you're going to find that wisdom that comes from above is from, the only way to get that is from the one who came down from above and took on Himself humanity as we are. And He felt everything that we feel. Who better to rely on for your source of wisdom than the Lord Jesus Christ, when He's the one who gave Himself as a ransom for our souls, and He lives in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, think about that. The one who promised, He made a promise when He ascended into heaven. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will give you the Comforter. He was talking about the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God. And that's where a lot of the wisdom comes from. But so many times Christians, they suppress the Spirit of God by using earthly wisdom to make decisions, rather than just back away, being able to view the whole situation and see it all. See, that's where God is. God's in eternity. When He looks down on earth, He sees the whole picture. We see a little bit of it because we're so close to it that we don't see the way around the certain situation we may be going through. So we've got a responsibility as Christians to back off. He says no one can force anyone to be a Christian. And no one can force anybody to live a Christian life. Even after they get saved, you can't force them to do that. All you can do is give them direction. And the only way to give them direction is based on the Word of God. I'm sliding off here. He says clearly that, it says, but wisdom that is from above is first, in James 1:17, what is it? It's first pure. True wisdom from above, it's pure. And in Matthew 5:8, our Lord said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So our aim as Christians is to be pure and cleansed of sin. And the only way to be cleansed from sin is what? God tells us how to do that. When we sin, how do we get that purity back? If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us, purify us from all unrighteousness. That's wisdom. Being able to swallow your pride and in meekness go before God. And you what repentance is, it's admitting to God that what you did was the wrong thing to do. And say, God, I know that was wrong. See, that's pure. That's pure wisdom. And so many times Christians, I seen it Tuesday night out there with the kids when Brother Keith was given the invitation. I went up and stood there, and I was just, you know, he had everybody, every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody looking around. We do that. That's what preachers do, I guess. But nobody looking around. Every head bowed, every eye closed. No one looking around. And he was talking about, on Tuesday night, he talked about going deeper in your Christian life, being more faithful to church, getting deeper in church, getting deeper in this, getting deeper in your Christian walk. And he said, how many of you, just by an uplifted hand, would say, Brother Keith, I want to go deeper for Christ? And I looked out across the kids, and little kids, hands went up. Some of the teens, hands went up. But then when it comes down to it, the thing that keeps us back is pride. Pride in the heart. And when the kids stood up and he said, okay, everybody look up here. He said, now, those of you who raise your hand, I'm going to give you an opportunity to come forward and make it public. You know what I saw? The same thing I see in adults. Kids looking around. If somebody's looking, I'm not going. Shame on us as adults. We set the example for these kids. When God lays something on your heart and you don't listen, you know what you're doing? You're suppressing the Spirit of God. You're pushing Him down, and you're saying, no, I'm not going to go. I'm not going to do that. And that's not the way we need to be. That's why it's called pure. That's why it's called wisdom. He said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And our first aim as Christians is to have a pure, cleansed sin. And 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, and if any man sin, when we have an advocate with the Father. We have one who stands in for us. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. But when God calls you and you hear God speaking because you know you need to bow your knee before a holy God and make things right, that's what this altar's for. That's what the altar's for. It's okay to go to the altar. You know what? Other Christians should see us go to the altar. So maybe what I need to do as a pastor is every time I give an altar call, I need to quit singing and get down at my knees at the altar. You know, maybe people would follow. It's a matter of setting an example. And that's that pure wisdom. The next thing he talks about is wisdom that is peaceable in verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is peaceable. And Matthew 5:9, Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. People who are trying to keep peace among the brethren. The third thing he talks about wisdom is being gentle. But the wisdom that is from above is gentle, James 1:17. And then in 1 Thessalonians 2:7, he writes, but we were gentle among you. Paul said, we were gentle people among you. It's having a gentle spirit about us. That's true wisdom that comes from above. The fourth thing is easy to be entreated. It says, in James 1:17, it says as well, but the wisdom that is from above is easy to be entreated. The Lord Jesus was very approachable. As Christians, we need to be open and approachable. When somebody walks up to us and they want to talk to us about something, we don't need to do talk to the hand, the ears aren't listening type thing. Let them talk. Listen to them. and then see what they have to say. And the fifth thing about godly wisdom or heavenly wisdom is it's full of good. It's full of mercy and good fruits. It says in James 1:17, but the wisdom that is from above is full of mercy and good fruits. If we are not careful, we will find ourselves giving a commentary about everything that is going wrong in the world and doing nothing to heal the hurt that's in the world. Sometimes let's get our eyes off of what's going on in the world and let's focus on Christ and keep it there. The sixth thing he talked about was partiality. Wisdom, true wisdom shows no partiality. When someone walks into our church, we don't want to sit them in the back pew because they don't look like we look, or they don't dress like we look. I mean, the last thing we want to do is judge people because of their appearance. We don't know that person's heart. But as we grow as a Christian, God will tell us, okay, when you go out into the public, you don't want to look like the rest of the world. We should stand out. People should see us as true Christians. And so we have a responsibility to show no partiality whatsoever. And it says also that without it needs to be without hypocrisy. But the wisdom that is from above is without hypocrisy. And James 3:18 says, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. And that's the end of that. So that's wisdom. It's the wisdom that comes from above. So there's a big difference. And I said, one of the things I think I'm going to start doing, maybe Lord willing next week, is before we get into the lesson, I think we'll do the questions first. Does that make sense? That's where it's at in your book, is it not? It's in the beginning. So, and I had it in the book, front of my book, but I just didn't do it. So let's go through this real quick. Monday, according to James 3:13-18, what is the source of wisdom and how is wisdom characterized? God is the source of our wisdom. That's exactly right. And it's characterized by the fruits of the Spirit that we show. Tuesday, what does Proverbs 18:11, 8:19, and 8:35-36 teach us about the value of Christian, about wisdom, I'm sorry.
Better than silver and gold or anything else.
Exactly. It's more precious than anything. On Wednesday, Proverbs 9:10 and Job 28:12-28, where does wisdom begin? It's the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It begins by having a fear of God and understanding who God is. 1 John 1:9 and 2:1, how are Christians able to stay pure and cleansed from sin? Confession, confessing our sins. Friday, what does James 2:1-4 teach us about impartiality? About impartiality. Exactly, exactly. Don't show partiality. On Saturday, what does James 1:3-5 teach us about the availability of wisdom? It's available to all who ask. First of all, you got to be saved. You got to be a Christian. So, Brother Billy, will you dismiss us, sir?